Blog Talk Radio.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, today is January 20th in the year of 2008, and I am watching the inauguration pomp and circumstance of our 44th president, Mr. Barack Obama. I'm sure, as you can hear in my voice, I'm a little choked up. You can't help but watch and weep and just have so many emotions flowing through your body, just seeing the sea of people and faces. I had one of my intellectual conversations with a friend of mine yesterday, actually last night, and you know, we discussed Barack Obama keeping his BlackBerry and then Jill Biden's slip up on Oprah yesterday afternoon saying that Joe Biden was actually given the option of vice president or secretary of state based on his foreign experience. And even in that conversation, you can't help but feel the groundswell of support for Barack Obama and what he can do for this country. I mean, it's the expectations, of course, are extremely high, but he's actually adjusting our expectations in that even with his National Day of Service, for all it stood for, people were out in neighborhoods, people were out talking to people were out being engaged with their fellow citizens and fellow Americans. I remember growing up in New York City, and there were, you know, in the 70s and 80s, the homeless population in New York was out of control. And I remember stepping over homeless people to get to the subway because we had something to do, or just busy about your own way. And I think those days are long gone. We are ushering in a new environment and a new space of compassion and love and care for your brother, black, white, or indifferent. And as we move into a colorless society, it's not going to be void of pitfalls and mistakes and missteps. But I truly believe with everyone, Republican, Democrat, Independent, black, white, and purple, going through some of the challenges that are facing everybody, you can't help but wish the absolute best for Barack Obama and his entire administration, because if he wins, we all win. And that's the spirit that I believe so many people have right now. Yes, we all have to step up and have some enhanced level of personal responsibility, which has definitely been the battle cry for Republicans for many, many years, especially since the early 90s with Newt Gingrich and his contract with America. But now is the time, and this is the place for us to really accept the call to personal responsibility, shed our cynicism, exchange it for hope and optimism, and really seek and reach for opportunities that may not have been available to us before. I'm looking right now, as I speak to you, at the sea of faces at the inauguration. There is not one dry eye in the house. There are just people happy to be in his presence. Rick Warren gave an absolutely beautiful invocation. It wasn't over the top. It was simple. It was clear to understand. It was basic, and it touched my heart. And I'm sure it touched the hearts and minds of everyone else that's even listening right now. How can we not be ready to stand up and fight for a successful presidency of Barack Obama? Many have said, oh, you drank the Obama Kool-Aid. It's not that. It's definitely not that. It's a sense of pride. It's a sense of being an American. Right now, they are continuing on with the inauguration proceedings. I'm talking as I'm watching.
Everyone, please stand.
Okay, now everyone is standing, and he will be inaugurated in a few moments, I believe. Yeah. So now we have Michelle and Sasha and Malia. You hear all the wonderful cheers. Oh, his daughter's actually at the podium. He's giving.
I, Barack Hussein Obama, do solemnly swear that I will execute the office of President to the United States faithfully. That I will execute the office of President of the United States faithfully. And will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. Preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. So help you God. So help me God. Congratulations, Mr. President.
In everybody, you heard it right here. For those of you that can't be there, he's in. The faces are full of tears. The flags are waving. I don't even think the chill in the air can thwart the energy that's resonating in Washington, D.C. right now. This is absolutely beautiful and absolutely heartwarming, and I am actually very, very, very proud at this defining moment in history to be an American, to be a black woman in America. And for so many years, I wished my mother had named me Monique or Erica or something simple, and I'm so happy now that she named me Saida. I don't get cheers. I don't feel I'll get cheers or jeers like I did before, or people saying, what does that mean, or how do you say that? He's getting ready to speak in a moment, so hold on, everybody.
Strengthen
our adversaries and threaten our planet. These are the indicators of crisis, subject to data and statistics. Less measurable, but no less profound, is a sapping of confidence across our land. A nagging fear that America's decline is inevitable, that the next generation must lower its sights. Today, I say to you that the challenges we face are real. They are serious and they are many. They will not be met easily or in a short span of time. But know this, America, they will be met. On this day, we gather because we have chosen hope over fear, unity of purpose over conflict and discord. On this day, we come to proclaim an end to the petty grievances and false promises, the recriminations and worn-out dogmas that for far too long have strangled our politics. We remain a young nation, but in the words of Scripture, the time has come to set aside childish things. The time has come to reaffirm our enduring spirit, to choose our better history, to carry forward that precious gift, that noble idea passed on from generation to generation, the God-given promise that all are equal, all are free, and all deserve a chance to pursue their full measure of happiness. In reaffirming the greatness of our nation, we understand that greatness is never a given. It must be earned. Our journey has never been one of shortcuts or settling for less. It has not been the path for the faint-hearted, for those who prefer leisure over work or seek only the pleasures of riches and fame. Rather, it has been the risk-takers, the doers, the makers of things, some celebrated, but more often men and women obscure in their labor, who have carried us up the long, rugged path towards prosperity and freedom. For us, they passed up their few worldly possessions and traveled across oceans in search of a good life. For us, they toiled and sweatshop and settled the west, endured the lash of the whip and plowed the hard earth. For us, they fought at God in places like Concord and Gettysburg, Normandy and Cape Town. Time and again, these men and women struggled and sacrificed and worked till their hands were raw so that we might live a better life. They saw America as bigger than the sum of our individual ambitions, greater than all the differences of birth or wealth or faction. This is the journey we continue today. We remain the most prosperous, powerful nation on earth. Our workers are no less productive than when this crisis began. Our minds are no less inventive, our goods and services no less needed than they were last week or last month or last year. Our capacity remains undiminished, but our time of standing pat, of protecting their interests and putting off unpleasant decisions, that time has surely passed. Starting today, we must pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and begin again the work of remaking America. There is work to be done. The state of our economy calls for action, bold and swift, and we will act, not only to create new jobs, but to lay a new foundation for growth. We will build the roads and bridges, the electric grids and digital lines that feed our commerce and bind us together. We will restore science to its rightful place and wield technology's wonders to raise healthcare's quality and lower its cost. We will harness the sun and the winds and the soil to fuel our cars and run our factories, and we will transform our schools and colleges and universities to meet the demands of the new age. All this we can do. All this we will do. Now, there are some who question the scale of our ambitions, who suggest that our system cannot tolerate too many big plans. Their memories are short. For they have forgotten what this country has already done, what free men and women can achieve when imagination is joined to common purpose and necessity to courage. What the cynics fail to understand is that the ground has shifted beneath them, that the failed political arguments that have consumed us for so long no longer apply. The question we ask today is not whether our government is too big or too small, but whether it works, whether it helps families find jobs at a decent wage, care they can afford, a retirement that is dignified. Where the answer is yes, we intend to move forward. Where the answer is no, programs will end. And those of us who manage the public dollars will be held to account to spend wisely, reform bad habits, and do our business in the light of day, because only then can we restore the vital trust between the people and their government. Nor is the question before us whether the market is a force for good or evil. This power to generate wealth and expand freedom is unmatched. But this crisis has reminded us that without a watchful eye, the market can spin out of control. The nation cannot prosper long when it favors only the prosperous. The success of our economy has always depended not just on the size of our gross domestic product, but on the reach of our prosperity, on the ability to extend opportunity to every willing heart. Not out of charity, but because it is the surest route to our common good. As for our common defense, we reject as false the choice between our safety and our ideals. Our founding fathers faced with perils that we can scarcely imagine, drafted a charter to assure the rule of law and the rights of man, a charter expanded by the blood of generations. Those ideals still light the world, and we will not give them up for expedient sake. And so, to all the other people and governments who are watching today, from the grandest capitals to the small village where my father was born, know that America is a friend of each nation and every man, woman, and child who seeks a future of peace and dignity. And we are ready to lead once more. Fascism and communism, not just with missiles and tanks, but with the sturdy alliances and enduring convictions. They understood that our power alone cannot protect us, nor does it entitle us to do as we please. Instead, they knew that our power grows through its prudent use. Our security emanates from the justice of our cause, the force of our example, the temporary qualities of humility and restraint. We are the keepers of this legacy. Guided by these principles once more, we can meet those new threats that demand even greater effort, even greater cooperation and understanding between nations. We will begin to responsibly leave Iraq to its people and forward to hard-earned peace in Afghanistan. With old friends and former foes, we will work tirelessly to lessen the nuclear threat and roll back the specter of a warming planet. We will not apologize for our way of life, nor will we waver in its defense. And for those who seek to advance their aims by inducing terror and slaughtering innocents, we say to you now that our spirit is stronger and cannot be broken. You cannot outlast us, and we will defeat you. That our patchwork heritage is a strength, not a weakness. We are a nation of Christians and Muslims, Jews and Hindus, and non-believers. We are shaped by every language and culture, drawn from every end of this earth. And because we have tasted the bitter swill of civil war and segregation, and emerge from that dark chapter stronger and more united. We cannot help but believe that the old hatred shall someday pass, that the lines of tribes shall soon dissolve, that as the world grows smaller, our common humanity shall reveal itself, and that America must play its role in ushering in a new era of peace. To the Muslim world, we think a new way forward based on mutual interest and mutual respect. To those leaders around the globe who seek to sow conflict or blame their society of ills on the West, know that your people will judge you on what you can build, not what you destroy. To those who claim to power through corruption and deceit and the silencing of dissent, know that you are on the wrong side of history, but that we will extend a hand if you are willing to unclench your fist. To the people of four nations, we pledge to work alongside to make your farms flourish and let clean water flow, to nourish starved bodies and feed hungry minds. And to those nations like ours that enjoy relative plenty, we say we can no longer afford indifference to the suffering outside our borders, nor can we consume the world's resources without regard to effect. So the world has changed, and we must change with it. As we consider the road that unfolds before us, we remember with humble gratitude those brave Americans who at this very hour patrol far-off deserts and distant mountains. They have something to tell us, just as the fallen heroes who lie in Arlington whisper through the ages. We honor them not only because they are the guardians of our liberty, but because they embody the spirit of service, a willingness to find meaning in something greater than themselves. And yet, at this moment, a moment that will define a generation, it is precisely this spirit that must inhabit us all. For as much as government can do and must do, it is ultimately the faith and determination of the American people upon which this nation relies. It is the kindness to take in a stranger when the levees break, the selflessness of workers who would rather cut their hours than see a friend lose their job, which sees us through our darkest hours. It is the firefighter's courage to storm a stairway filled with smoke, but also a parent's willingness to nurture a child that finally decides our fate. Our challenges may be new. The instruments with which we meet them may be new. But those values upon which our success depends, honesty and hard work, courage and fair play, tolerance and curiosity, loyalty and patriotism, these things are old. These things are true. They have been the quiet force of progress throughout our history. What is demanded then is a return to these truths. What is required of us now is a new era of responsibility, a recognition on the part of every American that we have duties to ourselves, our nation, and the world, duties that we do not grudgingly accept, but rather see gladly, firm in the knowledge that there is nothing so satisfying to the spirit, so defining of our character, than giving our all to a difficult task. This is the price and the promise of citizenship. This is the source of our confidence, the knowledge that God calls on us to shape an uncertain destiny. This is the meaning of our liberty and our creed, why men and women and children of every race and every faith can join in celebration across this magnificent mall, and why a man whose father less than 60 years ago might not have been served in a local restaurant can now stand before you to take a most sacred oath. Of who we are and how far we have traveled. In the year of America's birth, in the coldest of months, a small band of patriots huddled by 9 campfires on the shores of an icy river. The capital was abandoned. The enemy was advancing. The snow was stained with blood. At a moment when the outcome of our revolution was most in doubt, the father of our nation ordered these words to the rest of the people. Let it be told to the future world that in the depth of winter, when nothing but hope and virtue could survive, that the city and the country, alarmed at one common danger, came forth to meet. America, in the face of our common dangers, in this winter of our hardship, let us remember these timeless words. With hope and virtue, let us brave once more the icy currents and endure what storms may come. Let it be said by our children's children that when we were tested, we refused to let this journey end, that we did not turn back, nor did we falter. And with eyes fixed on the horizon and God's grace upon us, we carried forth that great gift of freedom and delivered it safely to future generations. Thank you. God bless you.
Well, there you have it, the inaugural speech of our newest president, Barack Obama. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for hanging out with me today. Today has just been a feeling of adulation and love and compassion and care from my immediate circle, and this is definitely a challenge for me because now I want to go out and do more and be more, not even necessarily have more, but I really have to turn up the volume and pour more of me into people who may need it. And I believe just in listening to Barack Obama's speech, President Barack Obama's speech, the mandate has been placed. He has suppressed our spirit of fear. He has encouraged our feeling of hope. I'm sorry, I'm just listening to Dianne Feinstein. I thought she was getting ready to speak again. But I encourage everyone to please just go out and do more. Encourage your brothers. Encourage your sisters. If you see someone, help them. If you have a nickel, give them half. And I do believe that this country will be better off for it. I'm going to continue to watch the rest of the inauguration. I love you all, and I'll see you tomorrow. It's your girl, Cy Brown, right here on Life Remix Radio. Peace.